Hey everybody, welcome to our morning devos. Today's passage is from 2 Samuel chapter 3 verses 31 through 39. This is 2 Samuel chapter 3 verses 31 through 39. Then David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, "Tear your clothes and put on sackcloth and mourn before Abner." And King David followed the bier. They buried Abner at Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner. And all the people wept. And the king lamented for Abner, saying, "Should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, your feet were not fettered. As one falls before the wicked, you have fallen." And all the people wept again over him. Then all the people came to persuade David to eat bread while it was yet day. But David swore, saying, "God do so to me and more also, if I taste bread or anything else till the sun goes down." And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as everything that the king did pleased all the people. So all the people and all Israel understood that day that it had not been the king's will to put to death Abner, the son of Ner. And the king said to his servants, "Do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? And I was gentle today, the anointed king. These men, the sons of Zeruiah, are more severe than I. The Lord repay the evildoer according to his wickedness." Amen. Today's passage wraps up this narrative with Abner, David, and Joab. If you've been following along with us these last few days through 2 Samuel chapter 3, you'll remember that we saw Abner, the former commander of King Saul's army, defect and pledge his allegiance to David. But upon hearing this, Joab, the commander of David's army, strikes down Abner to avenge the death of his brother. It's a really tragic set of events taking place here. So David hears about this, obviously, and he's grieved. As we see in our passage today, he commands Joab, and in fact all the people who are with him, to mourn the death of Abner. David laments and weeps, and even when people urge him to eat, David refuses, saying, "God do so to me, and more also, if I taste bread or anything else till the sun goes down." In other words, David chooses to mourn the death of this man, Abner. Now, I'll admit that upon initial reading, I found David's actions a little bit confusing. Because, I mean, okay, this isn't just, Abner may have been a noble, respectable guy, but why was David so grieved? Because this isn't just David feeling just kind of sad or feeling like, oh, what a shame. But actually, David is tearing his clothes, putting on sackcloth, and refusing to eat until the sun goes down. This feels like the type of response you have when a very close, loved one dies, not a man like Abner. And actually, if you go back to the beginning of 2 Samuel, we see that this is pretty much exactly how David responded when he heard that Saul and Jonathan had died. So if you think about it, David's response here is pretty much the same as when he heard that his best friend had been killed in battle. Seems a little strange, right? Now, you could maybe chalk some of this up to David being a passionate and emotional guy. After all, he is the writer of many of the Psalms, and you don't write all those Psalms if you're just kind of a generally stoic person. But I think the reason for his response goes beyond simply his personality type. I think what we see is someone who knew what really mattered in life, following God's will. Let me explain. In some ways, you could argue that David had every right to do what it took to claim the throne. After all, he had been anointed king many years prior to this incident. Way back in 1 Samuel 16, David was chosen among his brothers by the prophet Samuel, an anointed king. So in a sense, becoming king was his calling. It was his destiny. And then from there, he defeated Goliath and was invited into King Saul's court. He was praised among the peoples and probably in his mind, ready to become the king he was promised to be. But seemingly out of nowhere, he was soon forced to flee for his life as Saul set out to kill him. He fled into the wilderness and went about from town to town like a vagabond without a home. Now, finally, with King Saul dead, he had his chance to take the throne for himself. Yet he continued to wait for God's guidance. Earlier in chapter 3, when Abner came to David, David could have seen this as another opportunity to take a hold of the kingdom, maybe by using Abner or maybe just striking him down, ridding of his adversaries and claiming the throne for himself. Or even if he didn't kill him himself, he could have rejoiced in hearing about the death of Abner, thinking he's one step closer to fulfilling his calling, his destiny, and becoming king. But he didn't do that. Instead, he mourned, and again, quite heavily so. And I believe, again, it's because he knew that in the end, what mattered wasn't receiving the kingdom, what mattered was living a life that honored God. He knew that at the end of the day, what mattered was not the fulfillment of his calling, but obeying the caller. Yes, David knew that he had been called to become king over Israel, and he knew that he had to take steps toward that. But he wasn't going to abandon his God and the ways of God to do that. We see time and time again that despite how long it took for David to finally become king, his intent was to honor God and live according to his ways. We saw that when Saul was pursuing him, he had a chance to even kill Saul, and yet he refused to do so because he wouldn't abandon God and the ways of God in order to fulfill this calling. And so again, in this case, we see that it grieved him. It grieved him that men were committing cold-blooded murder, that sins like this were being committed around him, all in this process of fulfilling his calling. You know, as we think about this in our own lives, it's so easy for us, I think, to get caught up in what we're doing, what we believe that we're called to, that we fail to remember what God actually wants. Obedience that stems from a life of intimacy with him. We get so consumed by our jobs, our relationships, and sometimes in our serving one another that we end up with hearts that are hurried, impatient, cuts corners, neglects people, maybe even hurts people, and worst of all, neglect God, all in the name of pursuing that which we believe we're called to. And you know, our jobs, relationships, the ways we serve, all those things certainly may be part of our calling. And yes, we do need to be faithful in fulfilling the calling that God has given to us. But what matters most in life is not the calling itself, but living in intimacy with the caller and obeying his ways. And in fact, it's when we do that, it's when we live in intimacy with our caller, that we are actually able to fulfill that calling, that everything that God has called us to do will come to be. It's not going to happen just through our own efforts, but it's going to be coming from this life of intimacy with God. But it's so easy to forget that. And you know what's interesting is that when we do this, when we live our lives according to the caller, not just our calling, not only will we fulfill that calling, but actually the people around us will ultimately see this and be blessed. In our passage, it says that the people see David's actions and it pleased them. Verse 36, and all the people took notice of it and it pleased them, as everything that the king did pleased all the people. So all the people and all Israel understood that day that it had not been the king's will to put to death Abner, the son of Ner. The people see that David was not just trying to reach this goal of becoming king, that he wasn't compromising his beliefs, his faith, in order to reach this fulfillment of this promise of his kingship. Because they saw how much it grieved him to see the sin, the death of Abner. And they were pleased. The people were pleased. They were blessed. They got to see a glimpse of what it means to follow God, what a glimpse of God himself. So when we live according to God's ways, rather than pursue our own, people will notice and be blessed. So let me close by asking you this. Have there been times when you've been so consumed by your calling that you've neglected the caller? Have you allowed your personal pursuit of something lead you towards sin, either in thought or in deed? If so, I invite you to return to the Lord. There is grace and forgiveness for those who turn to him. And so let's right now put a stop to that. And it's a look to God, our caller. And for the rest of us, even if you answer no to these questions, let's still pray that we would hold on to God. God has indeed given all of us a specific calling. He's placed you where you're at as a student, as an employee, as a husband or a wife, as a son or a daughter, whatever it may be. He has given you this specific calling. That calling starts with living a life of intimacy with God and following his ways. Life is not just about accomplishing something, even if it's the callings we have been given. It starts with living a life with God. And from there, following his ways, doing what he's called us to live, do and live. So let's press into him today. Let's turn to our God, turn our eyes to the caller, and walk according to his ways. Let me pray for us. Oh Lord, I just pray right now for all of our hearts. Father, we ask that you would help us. Help us to live lives that honor you. Lord, we do believe that you've given each of us a calling, a specific calling to a job, to a relationship, to a place, to a people. But Lord, as important as it is to discover that calling and to live it out, Lord, we want to not get caught up in the tasks or the specific goals, but Lord, we want to live according to your ways, to live with and for you, God. Lord, we know that David was not a perfect man, that he made mistakes, he sinned in his own ways. But Lord, we see this example here where despite how long it took, despite how hard this journey was, he sought to hold on to you rather than simply do everything that he could just to get to where he felt like he was supposed to be. And so again, Lord, help us, God. Help us to see you, to walk with you, to live with you, to love you, to honor you, and through this, bless those around us as well. So God, thank you for this word and this reminder today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.